Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To Dunn. Fletcher.
Oh, what are you doing? He threw him out of the ballgame. You got to be beeping me. What in the hell are you doing? What are you doing, Wagner? You got to be kidding me. That is so bad. That is absolutely brutal.
That's incredible.
That is unbelievable. I'll tell you what. They have got to start making guys be accountable. That is totally absurd. That just tells you he has blue. Here's an umpire in the American League knows nothing about the game of baseball. That's unbelievable. We have always had problems with this guy right here.
Indeed, it is time for our weekly edition of What Are You Doing, Wagner? Finding out what people are doing in and around the coronavirus, coming out, still in hiding, doing what they need to do. First mention is Tim O'Brien, a columnist for Bloomberg, noticed this at the Chicago Bagel Authority on Belmont Avenue, a sign that says, "To accommodate anti-maskers, we have provided a space 40 feet west where you can stare at your reflection in the window, since apparently you're the only person you care about." Nicely done.
Wonderful.
All right, so what are you doing, Wagner? Normally, this is when Mark Rohde updates us about Let Me Put a List Together podcast. And when last we left you, loyal listeners, last week it was might have been a sort of a letters to the editor, a mailbag idea, or might have been the rating the Marty Scorsese movies, but it turned kind of sideways, didn't it?
It did turn sideways because my stupid partner, Brian Mitchell, went and got appendicitis, which means he had to have his appendix removed. So we were not able to get into the studio to record a fresh podcast. But this is a great time for you to get caught up on the other lists that we have made, like top 10 stand-up comics, top 10 songs about summer, game shows, top 10 movies filmed in Chicago, top 10 kid breakfast cereals, top 10 John Hughes films, top 10 one-hit wonders of the 90s, top 10 80s sitcoms, and top 10 late-night hosts. And then my favorite one, maybe, top 10 SNL cast members from the 1990s. So check it out, man. Sorry we got nothing new up and running, but stupid appendicitis. But those
stupid Stupid partner.
Not very. He must not have been wearing a mask. It's got to be the mask. He probably wasn't wearing a mask. That will get your appendix.
His appendix weren't wearing a mask.
Yes.
All right. And it is what has become part of the regular cycle here on What Are You Doing, Wagner? We have a Trash Panda update, don't we, Trash Panda?
Yes, we do. So I'm pleased to report that the culprit has been caught at my parents' property. They had to call in the cavalry. They finally got fed up, so they called in a trapper. And the story from my mom is they actually called the county, and the guy working at the county knew a guy who did trapping.
So I got a guy for
you. So they called. Every
trash panda trapper's got
they,
a guy.
Yeah, they brought in the trapper. And the first night the traps out caught the raccoon, and apparently the trapper euthanizes the animals. So the animal has been taken care of. The raccoon is gone. I don't know if there's more. There probably is. It's probably not the end of the battle, but I haven't heard anything more since. Also, my mom wanted to note last week, they don't just have, you know, annoying animals around the property. They also have things like deer. They have this doe that apparently gives birth to twin fawns every year. So they have those walking around. And the deer are pretty comfortable on my property because they don't get shot at by my parents. The deer are fine.
You're not making,
well, that's good.
No fawn jerky for the Studzinski household.
No, all right. I've gotten that stuff from my friends who hunt before, but my parents and I have never hunted deer. So they're pretty comfortable on our property, but they're still overall much more skittish. Like it was astounding to me when I first moved up here. There was a forest preserve near where I was living in Palatine at the time. And I was running through there, and I got within like 10 feet of a deer. It's like, I've never been this close to a deer. Where I'm at, if you open the door, where I grew up, if you open the door, they run because they're so used to being shot at. So they're just trained to just fear humans, but deer up here have no fear.
I didn't think they'd have anything to worry about. You had to call in the cavalry because your dad couldn't shoot from inside of the house to hit the trash panda outside. So what did the fawns and the deer really have to worry about from your dad? They weren't going to get shot.
Well, and you can't, you're not really going to bring with the size of gun that my dad has, you're not going to bring a deer down with that. So there's also that aspect of it.
Okay.
So in conclusion, we're murdering raccoons, but the deer
but Bambi and the family, Bambi and the family survived.
Well, the deer only really bothered the garden, but my dad was able to put up a high enough fence to keep them out of the garden. It's like a 6-foot high fence around the garden, so they're fine. The raccoons bother everything. They're annoying. They still get into the garden. They get up on the porch. They're invasive, is what they really are, and they need to be taken care of. They're much different than deer.
Yeah, they're not as cute, and so they deserve to live. That's what it is. Get on the truck.
I guess that's what the line is.
That's really what it comes down to. Because raccoons wear masks, they do.
They're healthy.
Yeah, now they're criminalized.
That trapper euthanizes them. Does he skin them? And is he going to be like a male or trash panda Cruella de Vil?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Full length coat
out
of
him. I'm pretty sure he just shoots them.
Good God.
That's not euthanizing.
Well, yeah.
That's murder.
Okay. My mom told me, she's like, I didn't realize that by euthanizing he meant he just shoots them.
Oh.
So I think they were a little thrown off by that. So
Nelly, he's still moving. Hit him again.
That's right. Another moment this week in pandemic, the world of pandemic, there is a vintage clothing store that posted this sign. Chris Illuminati of the Bro Bible found this and tweeted it out. And the sign, it's three of them taped together on what might have otherwise been the other side might be a mirror, but it's three 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper. And printed on it is, if you choose not to wear a mask, we respectfully ask that you postpone your visit. We'll be happy to debate the efficacy of masks with you when this is all over and you come in to sell your dead grandmother's clothes.
Oh, man, I almost did a coffee spit take.
There you go. There you go. This is also, this week, by the way, was the, this was the 28th anniversary. We've done some movie anniversaries. We got one other anniversary left we'll discuss in a while. 28 years ago Wednesday was the release of A League of Their Own.
Ah.
Number one selling baseball movie of all time. According to Box Office Mojo, grossed 107 million plus ticket sales.
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
And number two is the movie 42, 95 million plus.
Wait, so they got more than like Field of Dreams and the Bull Roy Durham. Hobbs movie? Yeah,
Bull Durham
and
yeah.
Really?
And Major League.
That's seriously hard to believe. Is that accurate? I mean, that doesn't even sound right. A League of Their Own?
It says domestic ticket sales according to Box Office Mojo. Yeah.
Wow. Man, the Tom Hanks factor?
28th anniversary. And that was, I love that movie. I thought it was, you know what? One of the great overlooked things is John Lovitz talking to Gina Davis and Lori Petty. Well, we only make $15 at the dairy. We're offering you $25. That would be more, wouldn't it? So I thought he was just wonderful in that cameo that he had.
Madonna is in it. Over here, Madonna. Over here.
And Rosie O'Donnell. And it was great. I love that. But
it's a good movie. I would not have put it ahead of Bull Durham and The Natural and I would have had it up there. I mean, it's not bad. It's just,
I wouldn't have thought it was.
That is interesting. That is interesting to me.
I wouldn't have thought it was number one either. Next item on What Are You Doing, Wegner, Miles Michaelis, the Cardinals pitcher, who happily beats the Cubs because the Cubs did not sign him, and he snarkily takes shots at them all the time. Well, he's had to redo his bucket list, given the current state of the world. Quote, I was trying to hit every Waffle House I could this year, and now it looks like unless they deliver to the hotel that I'm going to have to wait to go on that journey next year. You know, you just got a unique bucket list when it comes to something like that.
Sorry about that, Miles Michaelis. By the way,
Miles Michaelis.
Do you know where Michael Wacha pitches now? Speaking of the Cardinals.
He pitches on Muppets.
Wacha Wacha Mets. No, he is on the Mets. Michael Wacha pitches
really?
For the Mets. Just real quick, because this is What Are You Doing, Wegner. The Mets are kind of good this year. So they got DeGrom. Did you know they have Stroman? They have Stroman. Did you know they have Porcello, 2016 Cy Young Award winner? Still have Steven Matz. And then Michael Wacha is your fifth. And I don't know what's going on with Syndergaard. He might be in play, too, at some point in time. That's a hell
surgery.
Of a pitching staff.
I think
you're right. I think, he's probably
surgery.
Out. But even without him, man, DeGrom, Stroman, Porcello, Matz, Wacha. Pretty good, right?
First of all, I don't know what shape they're in and what shape their arms are in. And that's what it's going to come down to with every team, Cubs and Sox included. You want depth, but as you talked about studs at the top, in that mentality, playoff, go, go, go mentality, that'll help a lot. But how fit are they? And that's what teams are trying to find out. Like the Cubs are going to have three-inning simulated games today from Darvish and Hendricks.
And okay.
Those are, you would expect them, you know they're going, Cubs are going nowhere unless those guys show big. Those are your studs at the top of the rotation.
No doubt.
And this is part of a, it seems like the Cubs are doing this earlier than I've heard of. Maybe I'm just missing what other teams have done, but they're doing it earlier, getting an early read on where their guys are, what they can handle, and then trying to project it out later based on what they've done in the past with these guys. So they'll see where they might be the end of July as they come into camp now and just, all right, throw for me. Let's see what you got. How good's the movement? How strong is a fastball? That's what it seems like.
Yeah, but I wonder. It's easy to forget that they did have spring training or some of it already, so they were stretched out to some point. I don't know how much of that has been undone. I guess is the right question to ask, and how they stopped. Like, is it ground zero now? Are they back to zero, or were they at about a 4 on the scale of 1 to 10 in terms of being ready to go? So those are, Steve, I think those are good questions to ask.
Well, that's what they're trying to find out, and I give the Cubs credit. I guess that part of it is a balancing act of how much can we ask of the guys early, but how much do we need to see to be able to judge them later? And I think that's something that every team will wrestle with, what they can expect of their starters, and you have to get on it as soon as possible. I don't think... Yeah, your point about training camp or spring training is well made. I don't know where these guys are too smart to let it get completely out of shape.
Right.
They don't even do that in an off season.
You're right.
How close to their A game are they, I guess, is a better way of looking at it.
Right. Like how revved up have they gotten? Obviously it has not been with a pitching coach watching them, so that makes a difference too. I mean, you just can't count on every single pitcher having the discipline or the know-how to be in shape. So there, yeah, I think it's more of, let's see where you are. We think we know where you are. We think we know what it's going to take to get you to where you need to be. But yeah, this is an important day for the, and you're right too, man, that those are the only two guys, Yu Darvish and Kyle Hendricks, on the Cubs pitching staff who I think have the chances to be really good guys at the top. Lester, I don't expect anymore. Quintana's out. Tyler Chatwood, sorry, still have no idea what he looks like when he is told he gets the pitch every fifth day. So it's, right? I mean, God, the guy had 95 walks in 2018. It was ridiculous. I mean, he had like 9 games of 5 or more walks in 20 starts in his first year with the Cubs. Like, I still don't know what happened there. And yeah, he was put in a better position last year. He was put in a position to win, and he was pretty good. He was pretty good. I mean, his strikeout walks ratio was excellent. So hopefully it carries over, but I hope it's not a product of just being in his head. You know, where like if he's told that he is the starter and he's making, you know, he got his 3-year, $38 million deal, if that's in his head, I don't know. So it's Darvish and Hendricks, to your point. I mean, they're incredibly important for the Cubs this year to be good.
Okay, we have a request. Our text line is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. My text messages on my phone are brought to you by nobody. I should get a sponsor for that. In the meantime, the Diva texts in and wants to know what you think, Mark, about the idea of Chris Bryant leading off.
I've always liked the idea of a thumper leading off. Like, it didn't work out with Schwarber, but as a rough draft idea, as the blueprint, I love that. I love that, like, the pitcher has to sweat with the first batter. Like, he's not just a little guy who's going to bunt his way on to first base. It's a guy who could hit the ball out of the park. Diva, I like the idea.
You like it better than Rizzo, the self-proclaimed greatest leadoff hitter ever, who's now such a skinny-looking guy. It's got an unbelievable different-looking body.
Does Rizzo, does that make him faster now that he's lighter?
You don't need fast on a home run trot. You just need to be able to trot.
This is a great
point. The question, can he hit lighter? We don't know. Can he hit? Is he still the same guy?
Well,
can he still hit for power with less weight? Now, supposedly more muscle, but did the muscle lose the cost and flexibility? I don't know.
I think, you know, with the great thing about if Rizzo was leading off and they do the ridiculous Rizzo shift, I mean, then you'll see him pushing some bunts towards third base, right? I mean, every once in a while. I mean, that's a fast guy's going to get a double on that shift. Rizzo, probably just a single out of it. But I don't know, man.
Did he lose enough weight to get an inside-the-park home run? Maybe lost enough weight to do that. Maybe
if they didn't have a thumper as their leadoff, I mean, they kind of, like, think about their team. I mean, Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, Schwarby, Happ, Rizzo, Kipnis, Bodie, Horner, Contreras. I mean, it's mostly thumpers, right? So,
well,
there's not a lot of alternatives.
The game is gone, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thanks for catching me up. Right. Hayward, I don't know. Remember Hayward did it for a while last year. Who knows? Yeah, we'll see what Ross has. We'll see if Ross... Didn't he say... I think Ross said he believes... He believes in a more traditional leadoff hitter, so it's probably going to be like... I mean, is there any traditional leadoff hitters on the Cubs roster?
I thought I read where he was comfortable with either one of those two. It's going to be one of those two.
Okay.
I thought.
You might be right.
If you got a shot to, you know, get ahead 1-0 in the first, take that. Do that.
I'm pro. Yeah.
I'm pro. We'll take a break. There's something I didn't get to. The 27 Club. I didn't realize how big it was. There was an anniversary of someone joining the 27 Club this weekend.
That's not good.
No, it's not. But it's bigger than I thought it was. And I found this interesting, and I hope you will too. So we'll come back and share that. And then there later on, before we get out of here at 2 o'clock and turn it over to Zach Zaidman, there's another idea I really love as NFL teams, the Washington football team, and the Cleveland baseball team, and ultimately the Chicago hockey team have to consider changing their names.
Yes.
A former score guy, former score intern, had a wonderful idea I want to run by you. So we'll discuss that before they kick us out of here. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. And the text line shows some response to fireworks and trash pandas. So we can't miss that. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody with you. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 2 o'clock, we'll turn it over to Zach Zaidman. here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. Till then, I talked about the 27 Club, and you said it wasn't good news, and it's not good news, but it's bigger than I thought. So share with the class the 27 Club, Mark.
Well, the 27 Club is rock stars that have died at the age of 27. Simple as that.
Right. And today was the 40. Well, yesterday, today, I guess, in Paris, Jim Morrison died 49 years ago, Friday, Saturday. That the lead singer of the Doors, the poet of the Doors, he joined the 27 Club. He was 27 years old. They did Light My Fire, Touch Me, Hello, I Love You, L.A. Woman. And the end, they did the end, which, of course, was the beginning of Apocalypse Now, the Vietnam War epic. And it struck me as, in going down this list, that they also did Riders on the Storm. And when I was thinking back to your summer songs, your Let Me Put Together a List, mm-hmm. summer songs, right? It didn't have the word summer on it, but that was the summer when Nick got his license. He was my best friend for life. Nick was a year older than me. He got his license, and we drove to the beach every day. And it seemed like Riders on the Storm was on the radio every day, every 5 minutes, as if a radio station had said, hey, you're never more than 5 minutes away from Riders on the Storm.
Here it is again.
Yes, there it was. So in my world, from what I knew, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, and Jimi Hendrix, the three J's, they were the 27 Club. All, you know, people from the late 60s, early 70s, they died at the age of 27. And so in looking that up and whatever links I came across, the 27 Club is bigger than I thought. Maybe, Mark, bigger than you thought. So we'll start with, we're going way back. Robert Jones, who's a was an influence on a lot of rock and roll pioneers, and according to the legend, he sold his soul to the devil in exchange for his mighty talent to play the guitar in street corners in the Mississippi Delta. That was Robert Johnson. There's a doc out on him, and he died at 27. Brian Jones, a founding member of the Rolling Stones, he died at 27. I've never heard of Alan Blind Owl Wilson.
Blind Owl?
But he headed up the blues band Canned Heat, which performed at Woodstock. He died at 27.
Canned Heat sounds like a cover band.
Well, look up Canned Heat. Or ask your parents when they're done shooting raccoons, and we'll get to the raccoons in a
minute. I'm sure my dad knows who they are.
Ron Pigpen McKernan.
Okay, you're just making names up now.
No, he's a founding member of the Grateful Dead. He died at 27. This will be more in your wheelhouse, Mark. The last two names that I found on this list. Kurt Cobain.
Ugh.
And Amy Winehouse.
Sure.
I thought it was just Janis, Jimmy, and Jim. And the number of the 27 is the most... Every rocker who's over 27, congratulations. You survived that kind of crucible. You had a better chance of living for a long time. And now I didn't realize it was that big, the 27 list.
Yeah, I knew
that
Kurt.
Long.
I knew Cobain, Joplin, Morrison, Hendrix, and Winehouse. I did not know of this Blind Owl of whom you speak, and Bob Johnson, and Pigpen.
You guys are missing one still. Maybe I missed it. John Bonham.
He was 27?
Yeah, he's 27.
Holy mackerel. You're right. I missed it. We'll add to the list.
Greatest drummer of all time. Yeah, 27.
Let's think about what it is about that age, 27. Wow. Okay, so most of these guys start heavy rocking or doing their thing probably when they're about 16, right? Let's just say 16. So that's when they start going hard. Is that what it is? Like if you're going hard and you're doing drugs and drinking and just flooding your body for from 16 to 11 years straight. Is that so? That's the cutoff. 11 years of going hard every day. And I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, like, is there something, like, is it just totally random that it's 27 and we have ourselves a cute little list here, or is there something to it?
No, you know, I think investigating the doing a some kind of forensic work on the life itself, on the life of a musician, life of a rocker, while investigating, I don't know what, and that accounts for some of it, I have to imagine. I don't know.
And you have to consider the lifestyle these guys were leading. I mean, you take Bonham, for instance. What killed him was essentially alcohol. You know, he choked on his own vomit.
Right.
So it's just, I think it just is, the number itself, I think, is a coincidence. But the manner in which they die is all accident related to the hardcore lifestyle of rock and rollers in the mid-90s and backwards.
Right, and Cobain, though, obviously, he shot himself.
Well, yeah, there's also that, yeah. But, you know,
conspiracy theories.
There's also, yeah. Well, did you ever see the documentary, used to be on Netflix, it might still be, Soaked in Bleach? Maybe question a lot of things.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, it's an independent documentary where they had zero cooperation from anybody from Nirvana. So it was like,
it's really
very conspiratorial, but it's interesting. It's kind of a haunting tone to the whole thing, and the guy speaks with an English accent, so it makes it even more haunting or interesting, I guess is the word. So
didn't make Courtney Love look good, that's for sure.
No, made her look bad. But yeah, no, that's great. There's actually a really good Amy Winehouse documentary out as well. So yeah, really on all of these, I would imagine. Jim Morrison.
So a really good Amy Winehouse documentary doesn't, to me, that immediately goes right to depressing, to really sad, to...
Oh, because she's so young.
Pity.
And...
Yeah, and also somebody who was so overwrought and distraught and just... So I don't know, why is it good? Why was it a good doc?
I don't know. I love Rock Doc, so it gives the whole arc, you know? It's not like the whole thing is just depressing and about her death. It's about how she got to be great, when she was happy, and what kind of happened. So, yeah, it has a sad ending, but it's not the whole tone of the documentary is not necessarily depressing.
Hey, guys, apparently I was wrong, so I got to correct myself. Bonham was 32. I did my research. So that's my bad. I retract that statement.
Okay.
So he must have started his party when he was 18 as opposed to 16.
No,
or 20.
I'm sure he started. Looked like he started it at 7 and just lasted as long as he could.
Where's his son drumming? Isn't Jason Bonham drumming with somebody?
Jason,
significant group.
He did some stuff with the Led Zeppelin members that they did when they did like a reunion thing. But I don't know what his actual like main group would be. He's really good though. Shocking.
Mark, did you know that our producer had a. Had a brush with greatness, with speaking of rock music, or not rock music, but speaking of musicians, with Miley Cyrus's dad?
No. Billy Ray?
Yeah, I did.
Somebody say something. Somebody tell me what's going on.
Share with the class. Let's do show and tell.
Okay.
Studs.
So I have a little bit of background to set this up. My dad, for like 10 years or something like that, played at this place in Taylorville, Illinois. It was like a country opera place, and he was in the house band there. So they would have a lot of country acts that came through there. A lot of them were more minor, like maybe people on the tail end of their career or more up-and-coming people. Every now and then you get someone famous like Clint Black come through there. But like Lone Star came through there when they were right before they got big. I got to meet them.
Nice.
And so, but Billy Ray Cyrus came through there when he was at like the peak of his powers, like achy breaky heart, the whole thing.
Oh.
And so I got to meet him, and I got a picture with him too. I'd have to track it down, but it's around somewhere. And it was like a Christmas show, so I'm dressed up in this weird Christmas thing they used me for. I don't really know. But I don't really remember this.
I want to see this picture. Were you dressed like it was like Nutcracker? Were you dressed
I think I was dressed like a shepherd. I think I was dressed like a shepherd or something like that. I don't know. They would use me as props all the time because I was one of the house band members' kids, and they could just throw me wherever they want, they felt like it.
And do you have parental issues now?
No. Okay. I didn't mind doing it.
Okay. The Taylorville Tornadoes, right? Isn't that their nickname?
The high school? Yeah. Good job.
I used to... one of my radio stops was in Springfield, and we definitely covered the Taylorville tournament. I've been to Taylorville, to that high school, to that gym, to do play-by-play for high school sports. Taylorville and Jacksonville. I mean, I'm a little more well-versed on Central Illinois than you think, Studs.
No, we talked about that like a couple months ago. I remember. Yeah, you know your stuff. I'll make you an honorary Central Illinoisan.
Absolutely. I enjoyed my time in Central Illinois, and I'm not joking. I had a good time. I love Springfield and Peoria and Lincoln. I was ready to get back north, but I enjoyed it.
Okay. Wow. Now that we can talk
about
places,
Steve?
Places with indoor plumbing. I was not in Central Illinois, not voluntarily, never did that. So there we go.
Sorry for you.
Yep.
Your loss.
Okay. The headline from The Onion was, Washington Redskins changed their name to the D.C. Redskins, which I just love.
What
but it's wonderful.
From?
The Onion. Washington Redskins changed their name to the D.C. Redskins, which
they
is
never
very
fail.
Daniel Snyder. But
that's so good.
That's a big story that's getting bigger, and it is going to starts with the Redskins. Now the Indians have talked about it. We're going to have conversations with Rocky Wirtz about the Blackhawks. And a former SCORE intern, I believe he was, named by Terry Bohr's Glatt from Menko, has an interesting idea about how this should go. So we'll discuss that when we come back. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Rohde, Saturday Suckage. We suck so your 4th of July doesn't have to. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Welcome and welcome back. I just wondered, Mark, if Trash Panda was going to bring us back with a canned heat.
With a what?
A canned heat.
Oh, okay.
He got confirmation from Mom. Alice said, yeah, we know who canned heat is. So.
I think he made the right choice coming back with some Led Zeppelin and Bonham banging away on the drums there.
All right. The four weeks of break, we're talking about the Washington football team. So FedEx, they play at FedEx Field, is asking Dan Snyder to change the name of the team that plays there. Well, FedEx is kind of a big deal. Nike might be an even bigger deal. And Nike said it is not going to put Washington NFL gear on its website until the name changes. Now you're speaking Daniel Snyder's language. Now you're speaking Roger Goodell's language, the NFL's language, money. Again, this is the league that wants you to sign a waiver as a fan to come in to watch the games, and if you die, so what? They'll sell the tickets to somebody else. You just can't sue them. But when you start talking money, then it gets serious.
Yeah.
And
then he gets righteous. Yeah.
What? It's true.
So then he gets righteous, and he understands that, you know, Redskins is a derogatory term.
Well, the Redskins have said that they are doing a deep, thorough review of the team's nickname. You don't have to go much deeper than it's racist, period. Paragraph. New idea.
So, yeah, that's why that news hit when I was hosting the other day, and I was like, all right, here's the news, here's what Goodell said, here's what Ron Rivera had said, here's what Doug Williams said on the SCORE today, and then I was done because it was like, there's really no other side to this, right?
No, this
is a derogatory name, period.
There's right? not. And now the Cleveland baseball team, the Cleveland American League baseball team, which has phased out Chief Wahoo, and the Indians are looking at changing their name. This has to be an, and the Braves are just abominable with the tomahawk chop. And the Blackhawks are going to... The weird thing about the Blackhawks is this. Colonel Frederick McLaughlin named the Blackhawks after the military group, the infantry group called Blackhawk. But that infantry group was named after the Sauk Indian chief, Chief Blackhawk. So we're still getting to the same point. And the logo is a Native American, and you're still using that as a logo. And a we've seen a bunch of times Native American stories about Native American stories not wanting to be used that way. Now, some of the franchises have contributed money to Native American groups, and so it's not as loud. And that might or might not be the case in the Blackhawks case. They've certainly never made it a cartoon. They've treated it with dignity, the logo and the name, even if they have oftentimes made it two word, one time made it two words, then we put it back to one word. I just don't think it's acceptable, and it can continue. So as you consider new names for these franchises, Glatt Fromenko, also known as Matt Friedman, but Terry called him Glatt Fromenko instead of Matt from Glencoe, suggested the franchise should consider selling its name, naming rights to the team, like in this case, the Cleveland Progressives, or the Cleveland Clinics.
That's where we're going.
Because, again, number one rule in life, follow the money. That's what the NFL is all about. They are the among the biggest, most successful whores in sports history. So why not?
Tonight, it's the Chicago Lumel Nottis.
Yeah, right. Or the Chicago Pat Ryans. Doesn't he have his name on everything anyways?
Yeah, there you go.
Right? I think that Northwestern broke, like, eternal laws or eternal codicils when they started hanging his name on some of their athletic, the football field or the arena. I didn't think Dyke Stadium was ever allowed to be called anything except Dyke Stadium. I think the late great Zay Smith, wrote about that, and the Northwestern president kept running from him. But they did it anyways, and it was in the name of money. So, yeah, and by the way, he's got one of the first rights of first refusal to buy the Bears, so they could become the Chicago Pat Ryans as well, playing at Soldier Field, or playing at Ryan Field, another Ryan Field. So what about selling names? You're talking about selling ads on sports uniforms now as they come back, and that's done a lot in Europe. Remember the team Tony Kukoc came from? Benetton?
Yeah, the Croatia Lions.
No, he came from Benetton Treviso.
The Benetton Treviso Lions, yeah.
Benetton, yeah. See, they're... So
they were the Benetton. Okay, I guess I don't remember that, but
okay. Well, they're happy to do that there. I don't know what, given the way the league, I can't believe the NFL would recoil and clutch its pearls. This is a league that denies that concussions cause death, and that its sport caused concussions. That they suddenly worry about whether they were selling a name or not. They're all about selling stuff.
Yeah, I think that from what I understand, the Chicago Blackhawks are just going to, their name is going to be changed to Willis Tower. That's what it'll be, just Willis Tower.
Chicago Willis Towers?
Willis Tower, because that seems to be the most, like, defiant thing in Chicago. Like, nobody acknowledges Willis Tower. It's always, it's not the Willis Tower, it's the Sears Tower. So,
right.
Yeah, let's just go Willis Tower.
Yeah, okay. The Mountaineers, the deep dishes, that'd be good, right?
Yeah, the deep dish, the deep dishes. Yeah.
The big beefs,
you know, very good.
The Portillos would be fine by me.
Portillos.
Chicago Portillos, the big beefs, you know, the Chicago.
Yes.
And hot, dipped, wet, sweet. So what about, what if leagues started doing this? Because we're at a time now, remember Tom Ricketts, the billionaire, comes from the billionaire family that owns the Cubs,
and they're talking
biblical losses. So whether he's lying or not, and teams are believed to be taking a loss, they certainly would appear to be suffering a loss of revenue, and every league is attempting to regain the sports playoff money where it adds up for them. So they would need to find another revenue stream. Why would it be such a big jump to name to let corporate America in on this and have teams named after corporations? Sell the naming rights to a team.
Hey, at this point, people would probably get over it just the same way you get over what your stadium or field or arena is called. People would probably get over it, I would imagine.
Well, you've called it Wrigley Field for so long. That's a corporate name. And no matter, you know, it seems that now you have to go out of your way to remember whose name is on Sox Park. I hear a lot of people refer to it as Sox Park, or still the Cell, or Kaminsky.
Or New
Kaminsky. Their problem was just when I finally got used to calling it the Cell, they changed the damn name again.
Right.
So I finally accepted. It was like, okay, fine, it's the Cell. All right. And then they changed the damn name.
Just when reporters had finally figured out how to, because saying U.S. Cellular is not easy. It's actually a difficult word to say, like when you're reporting from there. Reporting from U.S. Cellular Field, I'm Mark Grody, News Radio, or whatever, or the Score, wherever I was working. Like, cellular is a challenging word. And just when everybody had started getting it correct, now we're at the rate. What up, yo? It's the rate.
At the rate, that's what up.
Yo.
Or G-rate?
Yo, from the G-rate. And you know they hate that. They hate, like, the corporate sponsors hate it when you, like, they hated it when you'd say the Cell. Like, no, we just paid $8 billion for the naming rights, and everybody in the media is calling it the Cell.
Well, see, I get that, it's also a mouthful to say U.S. Cellular Field every single time. It's so much easier to say.
That's what I'm saying. It's like one of those words in the English, like cellular is not an easy word to say. See, I'm very well versed at it now because I've said it so many times, but try it. U.S. Cellular, it doesn't come out of the mouth very easily.
One of the reasons that became a worthwhile investment is back when newspapers mattered, because every corporate sponsor, every team knew that newspapers would print that name. That was part of every story, every game story, every place, and they would do it, 200 times a year, whatever it was, and they would put it at U.S. Cellular Field in the newspaper back when newspapers mattered. And the corporate sponsors knew that as well. We were going to get it out there. At broadcast, they knew that their hometown broadcasters were going to call it that. And Fox was going to call it that, too. Fox wasn't going to call it, at least in one reference, Fox was going to call a World Series from U.S. Cellular Field.
Correct.
It wasn't the Cell.
Right. But, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And eventually they're going to get their money's worth. I just know for a fact that they would, corporations get discouraged when we shorten and nickname their places. Not cute to them at all. To us,
no.
it is, but to them, no. No likey.
No likey. Okay, yes. They want their name everywhere, all the time, and
I can't really, I can't blame them, you know, if they're giving all this cash and, you know, that's the whole idea. And then you're like listening to the radio, like, no, we're not the Cell, we're U.S. Cellular. Bears.
Right, just bring money. So I think
Bears.
We're going to get there. If we're getting ads on jerseys and uniforms and you're going to see that show up, I mean, if you go back and look at hockey, it's most noticeable. You can go back far enough, Dennis Savard's, one of his first spinoramas. He was doing it on a rink with boards that were white, and the only marks on them were shots that missed and pucks that bounced off the walls. And so Dennis Savard came into the league in 1980, and you see how that's grown. And you could, NASCAR's never been against it. NASCAR, it looks like a quilt of ads. Golfers are wearing it, and everybody wants to wear the Titleist hat, the whatever it is. You're doing it, and they've got names. We put names on stadiums. What's so sacred about not calling them the Chicago Malnati's? If Malnati's wants to pay for it, I love the Chicago Willis Tower. It's great.
Yeah. Well, it's like
talk about a name, the towers.
I mean, think about Little League, and I'm sure it's still like this now, but like when I was playing Little League and all that, it was all sponsored teams. It was like I played for the Suburban Tire, Itasca Little League team.
Did you play for Chico's Bail Bonds?
No.
Walter Matthau managed that team.
Oh.
Chicago Bail Bonds.
I didn't know. Did you like the way I acted?
Chico's
like you were
Bail Bonds.
I didn't know what you were talking about there, but
yeah,
I.
Yeah, Chico's Bail Bonds.
I tried to act like I did.
All right. We thank everyone for joining us, for texting, we didn't have no emergency phone calls, no breaking phone calls. Thank you for listening.
So, Steve, we've safely made it through another show without phone calls.
People are safe because they can't call us. Hope you have a safe 4th of July. Rosenblum and Grody, and coming up next is Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.